Okay, we're in Parakhes in Hilchos Machalos Asuros. This parak is going to deal with, for the most part, the halachas of Gid and Asher, which I assume everyone has some familiarity with, the prohibition as brought down after the story of Yaakov and the Malach. However, within this parak, the Rambam also briefly brings up the issue of rove, which we'll get in this. You'll see, it's one of the famous cases of a piece of meat found in front of 10 butchers. So that'll be interspersed about halfway through the parak, but the majority of the parak deals with the prohibition of the Gid and Asher. So the Rambam says in Halacha Aleph, Gid and Asher noheg bebehema v'chaya ha-tahorin, v'afilu b'nevelos v'chefa shalahen. So again, we always remember, when it comes to machal, sasuros, and animals, sometimes you have universal isurim, sometimes you have isurim that are particular to certain types of animals. In this instance, by the Gid and Asher, it applies to both domesticated and wild kosher animals, okay? Even if they are, what do you call it, not shechted properly or a treva. And not only that, it applies to fetuses, and it also applies to animals, which we're going to get to much later, animals that have been consecrated for the mikdash to be eaten, and even for animals, okay, that are not going to be eaten in the base of mikdash. So the Gid and Asher, the Isra applies both to the right Gid and Asher and the left Gid and Asher. Now, just to show you real quickly, one quick picture, so we know kind of what we're looking at. Hold on. I promise it's the only picture that we need. This is kind of a picture of the entire anatomy, so to speak, of the Gid and Asher, right? So you see what it called, Etzem HaKaf over here, we're trying to get to, the outer Gid, the inner Gid. Basically, a butcher has to, you know, whatever, the butcher has to be, the shochet has to be very familiar with where the location of this is. And the Rambam's going to get into a lot of particulars as we go into it, but whether it's the Gid and Asher on the left or the right side, both of them are prohibited. So then the Rambam says, what do you call it? So the, what do you call it? The only part, midoraisa, that's usher, is the Gid that's around basically the hip area. Okay, shenemar asher al kaf hayarech. Aval shara Gid shel milmala min hakaf u'shelamata ad sofo. But the rest of the Gid, okay, which is both above and below that hip socket area, v'chein chelev shal Gid, so to the chelev, the fat that's on the Gid, eino usher elo midivrei sofer. So it's a very small part of the Gid hanasha is usher midoraisa. And of course, Chazal extended that Isra to other areas of the Gid as well. Ushnei Gidin Hain Apnimi. Okay, so we know there are two Gidin, one to the inside, Hasamuch Etzem Asur Min HaTorah. The one closest to the bone is Asur Min HaTorah. The Elyon Kulo Asur Min Divrayim. And the upper area, the upper or outer part of the Gid, that's Asur Mi Derabana. Okay, Halacha Beis. Ha'ochel the Gid Anasha Hapnimi Mimakum Shal Kaf Loke. So anyone who eats from the Gid Anasha, the inner Gid Anasha, that's on the hip area, gets Malkus. If anyone commits one of the rabbinical prohibitions of eating, for instance, eating the fat of the Gid, gets machanus on makas margus, gets rabbinical of makas. The kamash shir achila, kazayas. Of course, the shear of eating the Gid is a kazayas. Vim achal a Gid shala kaf kulo. Okay, if he eats the entire Gid that's on the hip area, afal pish aimbo kazayas, even if that amount is less than a kazayas, loke, vimeshu kiberi of the atzma, which is important halacha by Gid and Asher. Even though insofar as the Gid as a whole, it's only a piece, but since the Isra Daraisa falls only on that area right in that hip socket zone, that's considered like its own entity, and since it's its own entity, that's why he's chayiv, even if that is less than a kazayas. Halacha gemol, na achal kazayas megid shel yamin, u kazayas megid shel smol. Let's say he ate a kazayas from the right one and then a kazayas from the left one. O she'achal shnei gidim kulan, or he eats two gidim, api she'emen kazayas, even if they don't have a kazayas, Lokishmonim, he would get double malchus because it's as if he consumed each kid independently. Okay, lachadalit ha'of ein bo mishum Gid and Asher meishen lo kaf yarech eli yirech aruch. Okay, so obviously there is no actual isur of Gid and Asher by a bird because birds don't have that hip area. Rather, its thigh, so to speak, is long. Vim nimsa of sheyircho kiyarech abhema sheish lo kaf Gid and Asher shelo aser vein lo kalo. What's interesting is that if you come across a bird, a large bird, whose hip area is shaped just like a domesticated animal, and therefore, what it called, it has a ginnasha. The ginnasha, therefore, would be prohibited. But you won't get malchus for consuming it. So too, if a domesticated animal has a yerech that's like a bird, gid anasha shala aser. The gid of that animal is aser. Ve'lokin lo, but you won't get malchus for that either. Now, if I have a gid anasha from a non-kosher domesticated or wild animal, putter. Why? Because the iser only attaches itself to a non-kosher animal. But if I ate it, it's not like I was eating from other parts of the, what do you call it, from the body part of the animal, right? And if I eat from the fat that's on the gid, that's as if I ate from the meat of the non-kosher animal itself. But again, there's no true idea of gid anasha by non-kosher animals. Okay, lachavav. Now, ochel gid anasha shom nevel shel trefa, osha ola chayv shtayim. So if I consume a gid anasha from a kosher animal that's now an avela or trefa or was set aside as a korban ola, I'm over two isurim. Bitoch shenichlal beisur shar gufa shahaya mutter, right? So what's included inside the isur, right? The rest of the body area that's permitted, gam a gid, the gid's included, benosav alav, and you're adding to that isur acher, another prohibition. Kelach hazayin, naha notel gid anasha. Right, when a person removes, okay, now we get to the specifics of how this works. So when you remove the ginnasha, so basically you got to dig out the entire gid, so none of it's left inside the animal. So if a butcher says, I remove the ginnasha, we trust him, just like we trust him for removing chalev. Okay, we don't take meat from any butcher. Okay, so a butcher has to be someone who's a good kosher person. We trust his kashrus. He shechs for himself, and he sells it. We believe what he says. Okay, so we have a higher standard of kosher of a trustworthy butcher outside of Eretz Yisrael. Above Eretz Yisrael, b'zman shekul liYisrael. But when Eretz Yisrael is populated by from Jews, lokim mechol adam. You don't need to only rely on a butcher. Any person that comes along and says, I shechted this animal and I took out the gid, you can trust that person. Okay. Halacha test. Now, tabach ha-neman limkor basar. Okay. So when we say a butcher is trusted to sell meat, v'nimsa basar nevela basar trefa yotza mitachas yado. Let's say it comes out that he's selling basar nevela. Okay. Machzir as a dam on the bailim. So he has to go ahead and return the money to the people he sold the meat to. So what do we do to him? We basically put him into nidui. We fire him, right? And he has no basically method of fixing what he did wrong. Right? So he can never be a butcher again. He has to go to a place where no one knows him. And for example, in that place, he does a Shavas Aved on something important. O Yishkol Atzmo, Vyotzi Treifel Atzmo, B'mamon Chashu Shavadeh Asa Tshuva B'lal Rama. What's interesting is that if he goes ahead and shechs also, or either does a Shavas Aved on Davar Chashuv, or shechs an animal for himself, okay, and says that this thing's a Treifa, okay, where by doing so, he suffers a tremendous financial loss, then we see that the guy did Tshuva B'lal Rama without any deception involved, and then he can be trusted again to be a tala. Halacha yud. Now, lokeach basar v'sholcho biyad echa ma'amei aretz, or he's a neman alav. Okay? Let's say a person bought meat, okay, and sent it via an ama aretz, which we'll say is someone who's not very educated in halacha, or he's a neman alav. We could still trust him when he brings the meat. V'af bish in a muchzak b'kashrus, even though an ama aretz is not trusted when it comes to kashrus, ein choshin lo shama yachlev. We're not concerned that the Am Aretz went ahead and, like, let's say, replaced the kosher meat with something else. The Afilu Abdi Yisrael of Amosayan, Ne'manim Adavarza, even the servants of Jews and the maid servants are also trusted for this. Avalola Akum Shema Yachlet. But when it comes to a non-Jew, we have a concern that the non-Jew will go ahead and, replace the kosher meat with something trade. Now the Rambam, because of this Ne'manis idea by non-Jews, now the Rambam takes up these ideas of Rov. Lachir Aleph. Eser Chaniyos is a very famous case. You have 10 butcher stores or 10 stores. Teisha mokros basar shchuta, ve'achas mocheres nevelos. 9 sell kosher meat, 1 sells non-kosher. Or let's say, I should say, kosher animals, but not shechted properly. V'lokach basar ma'achas mehen, and you purchase meat from one of them. Ve'no dea ve'ezim en lokach. But you don't know which store you got it from. Hareza usher. Okay, we say that's usher. Shekol kavua kemechsa al mechsa dami. The reason why is that, what do you call it? Whenever we find the presence of something that's usher, i.e. by the nevela, we say, we consider it like a 50-50 slip between the stores. We say it's a one-to-one shot that he got the, one and two shot that he got the treif meat. Aval basar nimsa mushlach b'shuk, okay? But let's say you find meat that's on the floor of the market. Holech achar rov, okay? We say that's the rov, they're called the parish, ruba parish. Because that's another principle, which is that when something is parish, when it's separated out, we assume it came from the rov. Im haya rov amokrim makom asr. If most of the sellers in the market are non-Jews, it's asr. They may have rov amokrim yisrael mutter. But if most of the sellers are Jews, then that meat is mutter. Not only that, alach yedbeiz, v'chein basar nimsa biyad akum, v'eni yaduam milakach. Okay, let's say you find a piece of meat in the hand of a non-Jew. We don't know where he got it from. Im hayu mokrei basar yisrael mutter. If most of the people who sell meats in that area are Jewish, it's mutter. Zeu din Torah. Okay, this is what it called, a reflective of halacha from the Torah. Ugvar asru chachamim, nonetheless, the chachamim asrin, kol basar nimsa, anytime you come across and find meat, bein b'shuk, bein b'yad akum, afilu afbisha kol shokting v'chol mokhan yisrael. The chacham came along and became very strict and said, we don't care where you find the meat, how you find the meat, even if all the butchers are Jewish and all the sellers are Jewish, it's aser. Another famous principle, which is called basar hanisala min ayin. If I go ahead and buy meat, I leave it in my house, okay? But nela min ayin literally means that, it's not in my field of vision anymore. I left it outside. Aser, right? It's aser to then consume that meat. El imkin hayolobo simon, unless I actually have a clear sign in it. Osha hayolobo tzvias ayin, or let's say, I would always recognize it, v'humakiro. Vadai shehuzeh, he knows this piece of meat. O shahaya tzara v'chasam. Or let's say the meat was it was sealed all along. Like let's say it was in a taped paper. Then it'll be mutter. But otherwise, if that meat's left unattended, it's called basar shesalam in ayin. Olach yud gimel. Natala clean male chasichos basar. Let's say I have a large pot or earthenware pitcher filled with pieces of meat. The nishbar kli, and the kli breaks. The nafluah chasichos laaretz, and all the pieces fall to the ground. Uba umatzah chasichos, and you come and you find pieces. Ein lo bahen simon, lo tvias ayin. You don't see any distinguishing sign or anything recognizable on those pieces of meat. Hareza aser, it's aser. Why? Sheish lomar oso basar shahaya bekli. Because what you could say is that the meat that was in the kli garaso chaya osheretz, that the an animal came along and took that piece of meat away. Vizeb basar acherhu, and the meat that I'm seeing right here, right, is actually a different piece of meat. Okay, back to Gidon Hashem. Excuse me one second. Okay, even though it's usher to consume the Gidon Hashem, halach yedalad, Gidon Hashem mutter brana. I can get benefit from a Gidon Hashem. That's why a Jew can send a non-Jew like a gift of a yerech, of a thigh that has a Gidon Hashem in it. V'nosen lo yerech shleima v'nei Yisrael. Okay, and what it called? He can give the entire yerech with the git in it in front of a Jew. Right? We're not concerned that the Jew will end up eating this piece of meat before the git is removed because he can see where it's located. The vikachim ha'isa yerech chasucha. That's why if a thigh is cut up into pieces, lo yinen alakum from Yisrael. Don't give it to a non-Jew in front of a Jew. Ad sheyitzel agid shem yocham ben Yisrael until you remove the git because we're afraid that maybe the Jew will partake in the meat. And then, he might eat from the Gidon Hashem. Okay, lachat esvav. Kol makom shenei rabbi Torah, lo sochal, lo sochlu, lo ye'achlu. Okay, whenever the Torah says these words of not to eat, lo yochal echad iser achilav echad iser hana. Okay, so when it says that, lo sochlu, for example, it means that there's both an iser to eat it and an iser to gain benefit from it. V'mashma ad sheyifrat lecha kasuv, kederek sheprat lecha benevela. Unless the Torah says otherwise, okay? Shneamar lager asher bisharecha, for instance, by Nevela, it says, that the non-Jew in your, what do you call it, or the stranger, literally, in your midst, teats nena v'achala, right? That you can give it to him and he can eat the vela. U'gechela, or like what it says, v'achela, shenemar bo ya'asela kol malacha. O achi yisparish b'torash v'alpeh shumutr b'na. Or if the Gemara says that it is mutr n'ana. Kagon shkatsu v'rmasa v'dam v'evru n'chai v'gin anasha. Like these examples, shekol elu mutarim b'ana b'mei kabbalah. We know these things are mutter to gain benefit from only through Torah Shavapeh. Af al pishin asur machila, even though there's an isra to consume these things. Halachat design. This is going to be very important. This whole part here will be very important for the next paragraph, which deals with basar b'chala. Halachat design. Kol machal shu asur b'ana. Anything that is asur b'ana, imneneh b'lo achal. If he benefited from it but didn't eat it, kagon shemacha or nasam la'akum, or l'klavim. Like for instance, he sold it to a non-Jew. Ain't a loke. He won't get deraisa makas. However, machinus lo makas martyrs, it gets rabbinical makas, vedama mutar, but the monies would be mutter. The goldabash asr bachi lo mutter bana, anything asr to eat but permitted to benefit from, afa pishu mutter bana, even though it's mutter bana, asr lasos bo sechora, you can't commoditize it, ulechavin melachto bedvarim asurim, okay, and to what do you call it, establish, go into, what do you call it, into business, right, as dealing with these things that are asr, chutz min achelev, except for achelev, that's the one thing you're allowed to do. Therefore, a person should never go into business doing business with lona velos, lo betrefos, lo beshkatz, lo ramasim. You should avoid becoming, let's say, a meat seller of meats, for instance, that are nevela or tref. Let's say you come across someone who traps animals. Let's say, the tzayad comes across a wild animal or a bird or non-kosher fish, and he traps them. Or he traps both non-kosher and kosher animals together. He could sell them. But he should not have in mind that he's focused on just capturing non-kosher animals. Right? He's allowed to go, b'chalav. He's allowed to do business with milk, shechal bo akum, that a non-Jew produced. And a Jew didn't say. V'gvinas akum, so too with non-kosher cheese. These are all, when it comes to milk, so to speak, milk that's not chalav Yisrael, and cheese that's not chalav Yehudi, you're allowed to go into business selling those. And finally, lecha yuches, ze'akla. This is the general rule. Kol she Yisrael min haTorah, anything that's asur midah or raisa, Asr lasos bosora. A person can't do business with it. Anything that's asr midirabanan, mutar lasos bosora. You're allowed to do business with it. Bemisfeko bemivada. Whether it's obvious or it's a suffix, you'll be allowed to do business with it. Okay, we're going to stop here. Tomorrow we will pick up Paratest. Paratest deals with the halachas of basar bechalav.